Hello, dear friends in Madison, Florida, and dear friends in any state that you may be listening by computer in the United States, and dear friends, brothers and sisters that may be listening by computer anywhere in the world that's connected to the World Wide Web. We're streaming because of WMAF, streaming 24 hours a day. And this broadcast can be heard anywhere in the world. And we're just excited about coming to you in North Florida, in Madison, and coming to you in any of the United States, and coming to you beyond the borders of the United States, anywhere on the globe. So we're so glad that you are tuned in today. If you're a return listener, we're happy to have you with us again. If you're a first-time listener, please stay tuned to this broadcast. If you're a Christian, I want you to get on your shouting shoes. We're going to be talking about Jesus, our daysman Savior. And, I love to talk about Jesus. That's why we've titled our broadcast, Let's Talk About Jesus. And if you don't know the Lord today, and you're not a Christian, and you're getting ready to change the channel and turn the dial, please stay tuned a little while. Hear why that we are so excited about Jesus Christ, and we're so excited about the plan of salvation, and hear about the love of God that flows through Jesus Christ and His wonderful, wonderful gift unto us of salvation. Hear this today. Listen to this message. It won't hurt you, I promise. I can't reach out and drag you to an altar so you don't have to be afraid. I've never done that in my life. Amen. Only the Holy Spirit can do that. So this is a wonderful way to inquire into the claims of Jesus Christ by listening to a broadcast that is Christ-centered. So please stay tuned to WMAF. This is a wonderful station. We would invite you to tell other people about this station, and if they're beyond the broadcast area, that they can get it on radio, they can get it on computer. Just type in WMAF home, and up in the right-hand corner, that's correct, of your screen, there will be a place to click on where you can hear 24/7 the wonderful programming right here on WMAF. And other ministries are involved in this: classic gospel, classic country, classic music. It's unique. It's not just a cookie cutter rubber stamp station. And we believe that it will be a blessing to you. And we pray this broadcast is as well. If you have your Bibles today, amen, I want to just read a scripture that's going to set up the whole concept of a daysman Savior. You may not know what a daysman is. That's why I want you to stay tuned to this broadcast, because Jesus is our daysman Savior. And when we're through with this broadcast, you'll understand what a daysman is and how important it is and how wonderful it is, amen, to have Jesus as your daysman Savior. Amen. The Bible said in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus." I want to read that again. "For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Jesus Christ." Now, as we study about Jesus, our daysman, this scripture will be the foundation for what we're going to study. And I want to go back to this concept of daysman, to the ancient book of Job, in Job chapter 9, verses 28 through 33. I want to make a statement before we read from this ancient book, one of the oldest books of the Bible, the book of Job. And the statement I want to make is simply this, that the gospel is the good news that the demands of a holy God, which fallen man could never satisfy, and the desperate state of the helpless sinner who could never save himself, are resolved through the vicarious death of Jesus on the cross. It's His mediatory ministry that allows us to be saved. It's not what we do. It's what He has done in our behalf. What we do after we're saved is to show appreciation and gratitude for such a gift as this. Hallelujah. Amen. Every one of us need His representation, His mediatory ministry. Therefore, we need Him as our daysman. Here's where this ancient word appears in the context of Job 9, 28 through 33. Job said, I'm afraid of all my sorrows. I know that Thou will not hold me innocent. If I be wicked, why then labor I in vain? If I wash myself with snow water and make my hands never so clean, yet thou shalt plunge me in the ditch and make my own clothes, and mine own clothes shall abhor me. For He is not a man as I am, that I should answer Him, and we should come together in judgment. Neither is there any daysman betwixt us that might lay His hand upon us both. Listen to me very carefully today. And no matter how righteous you may think that you are not righteous enough to stand in the presence of a holy God. The Scripture is very, very clear that there is none righteous, no, not one. We have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And Job is sensing this overwhelming sense of unworthiness to stand in God's holy presence. And he was crying out and said, you know, if there was someone, I can't stand. If I washed myself with snow water, the purest of water that you can get, and I'm not clean enough to stand in the presence of one who is so holy. So what I need is someone to put their hand on his shoulder and put their hand on my shoulder. He was crying out for a daysman, he called this person. Someone who could bridge that awful gulf and that great gap that separates fallen man, fallen sinful man, from a holy God of justice. And that is the cry of all of our hearts today. Every one of us that are saved needed a daysman to do this great work in our behalf. And God needed a daysman to reach us. We needed a daysman to reach God, someone who could bridge this great gulf that sin has created. I'm going to read from the New International this great cry from Job. If only there was someone to arbitrate between us. This word daysman means an arbitrator, to lay his hand upon us both. And a paraphrase says, if only there was a mediator who could bring us together, but there is none. Job doesn't understand the reasons for his trials. He knows he's always endeavored to do righteously, but he cannot defend himself by proclaiming his own righteousness. No matter how good or pious he was, he cannot stand before a holy God and say, I have no sin. For the Bible said in Romans 3 in verse 10, there is none righteous. And most of us think that we know someone who is. And so it goes on to say, no, not one. I want to read from some more scripture, but let me make a statement first. Without a go-between, we are all in the same sinking boat. 1 Samuel 2:25 says, if one man sin against another, the judge shall judge him. But if a man sin against the Lord, who shall entreat for him? You see, we've sinned against the holy God. And yet this holy God that we have sinned against and offended, He wants to save us. He wants to forgive us. He wants to be reconciled. The New International says, who shall intercede for Him? This is the great cry of the Old Testament, was for a daysman, an arbitrator, an intercessor, a mediator. A holy God cannot accept and commune with an unholy man. Therefore, there is enmity between us. But a loving God wants to destroy the enmity that our sins have created. He sends a daysman to the earth, a savior, who will destroy the enmity and bridge the great gulf between God and man. You see, in Job 9, 32 and 33, the patriarch touches a grand and profound truth that man, the covenant breaker, inevitably needs an arbiter who can reach both God and man, who will see to it that both parties are brought together. And my friend, I want to declare unto you loud and clear today that Jesus Christ is our daysman. 1 John 2, verse 1, my little children, these things I write unto you that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. The New International said, one who speaks to the Father in our defense. And in the Greek, that word advocate means one who pleads another's cause before a judge, literally an intercessor. You know, we read as our beginning text out of 1 Timothy 2:5. I want to read it again. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Jesus Christ. In the context, it's speaking of Christ and his exaltation at God's right hand, pleading with God the Father for the pardon of our sins. You know, when you call on Jesus to forgive your sins, he pleads his own precious blood and sacrifice before the Father in heaven. And God lovingly accepts his plea because it was God's idea to send his Son, and Jesus' obedience that and love for us that brought him into our fallen world to suffer in our behalf on the cross. Christ died on the cross to settle our account. He took our place. He took our punishment. He bore the pain. And he became the go-between. He took the shame of our sins. He put his hands upon God's shoulder because his blood was sinless. Then he put his hand upon our shoulder. The mighty gulf was spanned. The enmity destroyed. The enemy defeated. God and man could be reconciled. That's why Jesus Christ is our daysman, Savior. Praise the Lord. His atoning sacrifice, his body broken, his blood poured out for you and for me, qualified him to plead our cause before God. I love Romans 8, 33 and 34. Listen to it very carefully. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died. Yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. I love the paraphrase of that. It said, who dares accuse us, whom God has chosen for his very own? Will God? No, he's the one who has given us right standing with himself. Who then will condemn us? Will Christ Jesus? No, for he's the one who died for us, who was raised to life for us, and who is sitting at the place of the highest honor next to God, pleading for us. Folks, Jesus is your daysman if you're a Christian. And if you're not a Christian today, he wants to be your daysman. He wants to bridge the great gulf and gap that sin has created. You know, there's an Old Testament scripture where God is dealing with fallen man in the Old Testament. And he says, my ear is not heavy that it cannot hear. My arm is not short that it cannot save. But your sins have separated between you and your God. And even in the Old Testament sacrificial system, that great linen veil that no one except the high priest could go behind and he only once a year to offer a sacrifice for the sins of the people. And before he could do that, he had to offer a sacrifice for his own sins. There was a clear message that that gulf had not yet been spanned. But in the New Testament, praise God, that veil, while Jesus was hanging on that cross, when he drew his last breath, and he paid in full the sin debt that we all owed. The Bible said that great veil was supernaturally rent from top to bottom. Hallelujah. And God invites us before his very throne. It's a throne of grace and mercy. And the New Testament said that we should come boldly before the throne of grace to obtain grace and mercy to help us in the time of need. Jesus has bridged the gap that sin has created. He is our great daysman Savior. And friend, if you don't know him today, he wants to be yours. John Ashcroft, the former Attorney General of the United States, said in a recent interview that Islam is a religion in which God requires you to send your sons to die for him. Christianity is a faith in which God sent his Son to die for you. What a stark contrast. This separates Christianity from all other religions. God reaches down to fallen man rather than fallen man trying to work his way to God. The high priest of the old covenant were a foreshadow of our great high priest and intercessor, Jesus Christ. There was a distinct danger that the priest of the old covenant could be disqualified as a go-between and be destroyed. And if he did not continue indefinitely, a new priest had to be in preparation. All Israel held their breath when he went behind the veil. That's why we celebrate our daysman Savior. Our high priest is perfect and he lives forever. You know, when that high priest in the Old Testament went behind the veil, they put a rope around him in case that he hadn't taken the precautions of offering the precise sin offering for himself before he could go behind there and be a mediator and offer a sin offering for the people. And they put bells, they literally sewed bells to the hem of his garment so they could hear him ministering the blood on the mercy seat in behalf of the sins of the people. And if they didn't hear any noise, they would pull the rope and pull a dead man out from behind there. And they had to have another priest in preparation. And even if he did successfully mediate, then they always had to be grooming someone else because it wasn't settled. The sin debt wasn't paid. The gulf still remained. But listen to what it says about Jesus, our daysman and our mediator, in Hebrews 7:24-26. But this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore, speaking of Jesus, he is able to save them to the uttermost that come to God by him, seeing that he ever liveth to make intercession for them. For such an high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens. I love it in the NIV as well. It says, but because Jesus lives forever, he has a permanent priesthood. Therefore, he's able to save completely those who come to God through him, because he always lives to intercede for them. Such a high priest meets our need, one who is holy, blameless, pure, set apart from sinners, exalted above the heavens. Christ not only had to die to redeem us, he shed his blood for our ransom. He must live again to be our daysman, our high priest who presents to God the sacrifice. What a glorious gospel! Jesus is our sacrifice lamb, who is also our high priest, whoever lives to intercede for us. We are reconciled by his death, and we are saved by his life. Listen to Romans chapter 5, verse 9 through 11. Much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more being reconciled, we will be saved by His life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Ah, friend, I want you to think about joying in God, not dreading to face Him, not dreading to come into His presence, not dreading a judgment to come, but actually joying in God, because we have a daysman who has reconciled us, who's put His hand on God's shoulder, put His hand on our shoulder, and reconciled us to God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. One translation says, now that we have, and it's a paraphrase, but I like it. It says, now that we have actually received this amazing friendship with God, we are no longer content to say it in the plodding prose. We sing and shout praises to God through Jesus Christ the Messiah. You want to know why Christians get excited about going to church? I used to wonder that myself, and I was raised in a Christian home, but I wasn't a Christian, and I didn't get it. I went to church when I was coming into puberty, like a lot of young men, because there were some beautiful young ladies there, and we passed notes and did all those things that young people do sometimes. Shouldn't have been doing that in church, but, you know, I was always looking for the green lifesaver and looking back to see if she was looking back to see if I was looking back to see if she was looking back at me. Amen. But I'll tell you, one night at 12 years of age, I was just planning on getting a milkshake on the way home, watching that clock. I thought the service was over, and three ladies walked to the piano and began to sing softly and tenderly, "Jesus is calling, calling for you and for me. Over life's ramparts He's waiting and watching, watching for you and for me. Come home, come home." Oh, I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit got a hold of me. I begin to weep like a little baby. I hit that altar without anybody touching me, urging me, coercing me, and I met the Master. Jesus Christ is my personal Savior. And then I got it. Then I knew why my daddy went to church. I knew why those people shouted amen and danced before the Lord and got so excited in that little church on the corner. Hallelujah. I knew why people wept at the mention of His name. Praise God. And I have become a Christian, and I understand what that is all about. I fell away from that walk with God because I didn't appreciate it at 12, but at 21, going on 22, I came back to God. And I'm telling you, it's been the most glorious life that could ever be lived. I'm not saying I don't have problems, and I'm not saying it doesn't get tough, but I am telling you, amen, that there is no better life than this life, because I have a daysman Savior who has redeemed my soul, put His hand on God's shoulder. Amen. Who there was enmity between me and my God, and put His hand on my shoulder and brought us together. Hallelujah. If you've trusted Christ as your personal Savior, you're well represented in God's courts today. You have a great high priest. We have a sacrifice lamb. We have a blood atonement. We have an advocate with the Father. We have a Redeemer who has ransomed us, who paid in full our sin debt. I told you at the beginning of this broadcast to put on your shouting shoes. Maybe you've never even had any shouting shoes. You say, "Preacher, what are you talking about?" I'm talking about the joy of the Lord. I'm talking about celebrating Jesus. I'm talking about doing more than just sitting on the pew listening to the preacher and watching the clock. Hallelujah. You know, one guy said one time, he said, you know, and there are those people and you may be one of them. And I hope that changes as you get excited about what God has done for you and what Jesus has done for you at the cross. Hallelujah. Amen. God wants a relationship with you that's exciting, that's intimate, that's personal, that's powerful, that's life transforming and life changing. Hallelujah. Amen. You may be one of those people that wants the service to stop within a gnat's eyebrow of 12 o'clock. Don't be that way. It's not that we want to keep preaching and wear people out, but we just want people to get hungry for God. As a pastor, I want people to be hungry for God. And if God wants to take a little extra time to bless us, honey, if you don't want it, you send it on down here to Tampa. Praise God. I'll be glad to take anything from God that someone don't have time for. We need a revival in America. We're facing some of the toughest times we have ever faced as a nation, and we need God's blessing back on this nation. And I believe Christians that get excited about what Jesus has done at the cross are the kind of Christians that other people can see our hope and our confidence. Listen, folks, David said, I'm young, and now I'm old, but I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed out begging bread. This has nothing to do with the Dow Jones plunging or not. This has everything to do with knowing that God is our Heavenly Father, and that He is in ultimate control, and He is our source. We need what it says on our coins and on our dollar bills. We need what the founding fathers of this nation, amen, said that we needed, amen. For on your coin it says, in God we trust. And that meant we can't put our trust in the money market, and we've found that out. We've got to have our trust in the God who can bless us supernaturally. Praise God. Amen. That is what has made America great. And this, it's because that there was enough people in this nation that acknowledged Him and received Him and recognized Him, amen, as a great and good God. Hallelujah. And received Jesus as the mediator between God and man. While there's a humbling, solemn, and sobering aspect, amen, to Jesus hanging on the cross, there's a victorious declaration through that cross that we have been redeemed. He has defeated death for us all. He's alive, and we are saved. We sing and shout to our daysman deliverer. We celebrate this wonderful relationship available to us through Jesus Christ with our God. Hallelujah. Friend of mine, if you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior today, He wants to be your daysman redeemer. He wants to be your mediator, your advocate with the Father. He wants to put His hand on God's shoulder and put His hand on your shoulder and reconcile us through His nail-scarred hand. It's a nail-scarred hand that He'll put on His Father's shoulder. And His Father will see the sacrifice of His Son and be satisfied with that sacrifice. For in Him your sins and mine were judged at that old rugged cross. Oh, how He loves you. And oh, how He loves me today. And oh, how He would love to save you today. If you think God is angry and wants to punish you, you're very wrong. God is just. And wrath means justifiable anger. It means God has every right as a holy God to be angry with us as sinners. But if we repent of our sin, this God who cannot look over our sin will graciously forgive our sin and reconcile us unto Himself through His Son. He sent Jesus to be a daysman. He sent Jesus to be the go-between, because it's not His will that any perish, but that all might have eternal life. That's the message of the gospel. That is the good news. Ah, If you don't know Him, would you open your heart today and say, Jesus Christ, come into my heart. Father, forgive my sin. I receive right now, Jesus, You as my daysman, my Savior. Thank You, Lord, for dying in my place and bringing me to God. Oh, how He loves you today. If you're a Christian today, you come boldly in prayer before the throne of grace. You have a daysman. You have a mediator. Hallelujah. You have an advocate. You're represented well before the Father today. Hallelujah. We love you. Come back next week, will you? And let's talk about Jesus.